So good morning, guys. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Henny van der Merwe, and I've been with Shofar for quite a while now. It seems almost like forever. Seems I couldn't remember a time that I wasn't part of this family. And I'm currently working as a mechanical engineer for a company that designs and installs furnaces all around the world. And this morning, I want to talk to you about something that God laid on my heart about 3 months ago or so. And it's something that reshaped Renette, myself, spiritual life. And it stirred in us such a hunger for God's word. It's something that we haven't experienced before. So the last couple of years, ever since I've rededicated my life to God, I had a question inside of me, and I was walking with this question. I was quite ashamed to ask anyone this question because I felt that it was something that's so simple. It's something that every newborn believer Christian that reads the Bible and so on should know. And so I was ashamed that I didn't know this, and I sat down and being an engineer, I tried to figure it out for myself, and I came to a conclusion about what it is, but oh, how wrong I was. And the question that I had was, how are we supposed to grow spiritually? You know, I had to ask this question is because in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 2, Paul writes to them, I fed you with milk and not solid food, for you were not strong enough to be ready for it. For you are still unspiritual, having the nature of the flesh under control of ordinary impulses. Now, if you know me, you'd know that I like my meat. I'm a solid food type of guy. And the thought of having to live on milk for the rest of my life was just not going to cut it. And that's why I was wondering, you know, how can I grow up spiritually? I don't want to live on milk. I want something, you know, that's a little bit solid. And as we know, newborn babies are quite immature, both physically and mentally. But we expect them to grow. If they do not grow, we know that something is not lacking. Something is wrong somewhere. And in a brief stint as a father, I'm a father now for almost 9 months, I realized something, that there's nothing that satisfied a young newborn baby's hunger as that pure milk. That 1 Peter 2 verse 2 talks about. He says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that you may grow into salvation. And as those babies get that pure spiritual milk or pure milk from their mother, man, do they grow. I mean, my boy doubled his weight in the first 3 months or something. Now imagine doubling your own weight. That's an amazing growth spurt that you go through. And as they grow up, they need more and more and more milk. Because as they grow up, their tummies get a little bit bigger. You know, they put a lot of demand on the mothers supplying that milk. And it comes to a stage that, you know, only milk is not cutting it anymore. They need more. There's no way one human being can supply that amount of milk. So you need to substitute that with something more. And I remember this one day. I was sitting at the dinner table with Stefan on my lap. And he was looking at my plate like this. And on my plate, I had this lacquer, nice, perfectly bright, juicy piece of rump steak. And he was looking at the steak, and he looked at me, and in his eyes, I saw the question, you know, why on earth are you allowed to eat this, and you give me lukewarm milk to drink? You know, and luckily, I didn't have to answer that question for him. Paul did that for me when he said, you know, you are not strong enough, you're not ready yet to get this piece of meat. So, the same thing happens to us spiritually. You know, as young believers, we grow up and we get reborn and we read the Bible and we see this amazing faith step that Peter had made when he stepped out of the boat onto the water, you know, walking towards Jesus. And we see Paul going into all sorts of places, performing miracles and everything. And we long for that. We long to be able to have that faith and that confidence in Jesus to do the things that they did. But we need to grow up first. So let's look at the definition of growth. So growth is development or improvement towards a goal called maturity. So it's a development or improvement towards a goal. So growing up always goes toward a certain point in your life. Or in the Bible's case, it's called perfection. So when you're born again, you're spiritually immature. And as time passes, you must develop qualities and abilities that the Bible deems characteristics of mature Christian person. So there's a number of scriptures in the Bible that talks about the need for us to grow up. So let's start with Ephesians 4:15. It says, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. And then 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we see there, and there's a lot more. This is just two examples that I took out. There's, in the Bible, we see that we need to grow up. There's a need for us to go beyond the baby phase and grow up spiritually. And if we don't do that, there's a lot of problems that can arise within the body of Christ when that doesn't happen. And I'm just going to name two examples here. For instance, if someone comes and he gets reborn, let's say in church here this morning, he gets reborn and, you know, he's on fire for God, but as soon as he steps out that door, he realizes the sacrifice that he has to make, and he's not willing to do that, and he just goes back into the world. The second person is a person who commits himself to God, and he goes out and he grows into a certain level of maturity. We call it the teenager phase. And as you know, teenagers always think they are right. I was there, I knew, but as then, I knew now that I am always right. So, yeah, so as teenagers, they think they're always right, and they want to do everything, and they know best. You know, they want to teach, they want to lead the small group, and as they go, it might become a stumbling block for the people around them, because they don't think of everyone around them, they just think of themselves. What can I do? And I'm so amazing, and I'm so good, you know, I know everything. And we need to get beyond that stage. So in order to get there, let's backtrack a little and start at baby stage. So as we know, babies need certain things to grow. Certain activities need to happen. Certain food needs to be provided to them in order that they can grow. And the same thing needs to happen to us spiritually. There's certain activities and things we need in our life in order to grow spiritually. But how do we do it? How do we get from being a baby to being a mature Christian? I used to think, and that was the conclusion I came up to previously in my life, that I said, you know, I'm born again, so I'm just going to sit back and wait for God to come and mature me. You know, I'll read my Bible and I'll pray every night before I go to bed, and I'll wait for God to come and mature me. And man, was I wrong. When we look at nature, nothing in nature works like that. Any and everything in nature needs some sort of substance in order to grow. If you look at the plant, for instance, a plant needs water. It needs some sort of fertilizer going into the ground. It needs sunshine. Every single living organism needs some sort of substance to facilitate that growth. And in our lives, in our spiritual lives, that initial substance, that fertilizer that's been put into the ground initially for us, is that longing to the pure spiritual milk that Peter talks about. That is the thing that gets you going the first time. That's the thing that gets you out of the starting blocks and gets you running. But if you don't get that thing going and going and maintaining that growth, you will become like that energizer bunny who hops, 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 and just, you know, gets slower and slower, and all of a sudden just fell flat on his face. So that spiritual milk is a thing that we can go back on, that we can fall back on, is the recharger to that Energizer Bunny's batteries to get you hoping along the way. And in order to get there, it all begins with Jesus and our desire to grow in Him. So in the physical realm, we know that children want to grow up. We know that. I think all of you have heard a young boy or a young girl at one stage in his life said, you know, I want to grow up. I want to be like mommy, or I want to be like daddy, or I want to be Superman or Spider-Man. Or people from my generation grew up and said, I want to be like Bret the Hitman Hart. Now, those of you who know them know that he was a quite amazing WWE wrestler back in the day. But in our spiritual life, we all have the same superhero. And that superhero's name is Jesus. Now, in our lives, we have two options. We can either live with Jesus or without him. There's a black and white decision we need to make. There is no gray area. Either you have him or you don't have him. In 1 John 5, verse 11 to 12, it says, and this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. So that's the two questions. Either you have the Son and you have life, or you don't have the Son and you don't have life. And, you know, having Jesus and knowing that Jesus died for your sin is something, but really knowing what that sin is a completely different thing. And I'll tell you a story. I gave my life to God when I was 12 years old. It was the 26th of February, 1997. So, you know, I've been saved for quite a while now. And ever since that day, I strived to be a good person. You know, I focused to not swear and not do funny things and, you know, to keep my life on track. And it worked for a couple of years, you know, towards the first part of high school. But as I went up in high school, you know, the wheels started to come off. And by the third or fourth year of varsity, I was riding the spiritual monocycle or unicycle. You know, I knew of Jesus and I read my Bible, and every night I lay in my bed and I'll pray myself to sleep. And that was not enough. Then I realized, you know, one day I read this Romans 3:23, which says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I thought to myself, I said, but how's that possible? You know, I'm a good person. I don't swear that much. I don't blaspheme. I don't sleep around. I don't smoke that often. I don't drink that much. You know, I'm a good person. How can this guy in Romans says, you know, all have sinned? And then I realized, you know, that we can't keep the law perfectly. It's impossible for us to keep the law perfectly. So we need a savior. We need someone to come into our lives and to give us the grace to be able to do that. To bestow grace upon us so that we can do whatever he needs us to do. So, If you reach that point in your life, which I've reached at the end of my fourth year, beginning of my working career, you know, I sat there and I realized I need a savior. I need someone who can take this sin that Roman talks about, take it away, so that I can be the person that God wants me to be. Now, if you reach that stage in your life, congratulations, you are a newborn baby. But being a baby is not a goal in life. No, we babies were born to grow up. And yes, but there's some people that actually like being a baby. You know, as a baby, you get fed. Someone changes your diaper for you. You have zero responsibilities in life. You get everything. If you scream, there's 3, 4, 5 people around you wanting to cater to your every need. And the same thing goes in our spiritual life. Newborn Christians come in and they get stuck on that. You know, they don't want to go and teach. They don't want to serve in church. They, just along for the ride. And we need to get out of that rut. We need to get into the mindset that we need to grow in order to bless other people. We need to become mature Christians so that we can actively serve the Lord, walking into the freedom and abundance that He set out for us from the get-go. So, and I've seen people start off with a lot of fire for the Lord. I've seen newborn Christians getting out of that starting blocks that will make Usain Bolt look like a snail. Now, going on fire. They want to do everything. They want to go on missions. They want to teach in church. They want to come to Bible school and start teaching there. But as time progresses, they start losing that zeal they had initially for God's word, because they start neglecting, you know, God and the stuff that goes with that. And I was one of those people. When I was saved at age 12, you know, I was on fire for God. I wanted to be a small group facilitator. I made a commitment and I read through the Bible. It took me 2 years, but I read through the Bible at that stage in my life. And, you know, as time progresses, as I went through high school and to varsity and stuff, and that zeal of mine just disappeared. And, you know, and then there's a second group of people I spoke about, you know, that develop a certain level of maturity, and they get satisfied with that. You know, they think, I have arrived. There's nothing else anyone can teach me, because I am at this level of maturity, and that's it for me. There's no need for any additional spiritual growth. And this thing I want to talk to you this morning about is something that can facilitate spiritual growth in your life, and growth that will make any investor smile from ear to ear. That's the type of growth that you want in your spiritual life. Even Paul never thought of himself as mature enough for doing what he did. You know, in Philippians 3:12-14, it says, "Not that I have attained or am already perfected, but I press on." No, sorry, that's the wrong one. "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfected, but I press on to make it my own, because Jesus Christ has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead." So we see here, Paul never looked back on his past achievements. He never focused on what he did, on all the miracles that have been done through him, to all the places he went, all the time that he preached the gospel. Paul never focused on that. He was always striving forward, you know, to his next accomplishment, to his next victory through Jesus. And in contrast to that, we see that Peter at one stage had reached a level of maturity that he reckoned, you know, I would never deny God or deny Jesus. No, he was at a stage that Jesus said, "You're going to deny me." And he said, "I will never do that." And we all know what happens after that rooster crowed 3 times. But let's see what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:12, when he says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." So we see that Christians never reaches a level of maturity that we cannot fall. We always, always, always need to rely on God's grace in order for us to go forward in life. We need to rely on God's power for us to grow spiritually and to accomplish the things that He wants us to do. So in 2 Corinthians 12:9, He says, "And He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for My strength is made perfect in your weakness.'" And what's quite interesting about this portion of Scripture is, at that stage in Paul's life, he was struggling with a physical ailment. You know, he called it the thorn in the flesh. He was struggling with this. And this is Paul, who performed numerous miracles, who've seen people healed, who've seen people rise from the dead. You know, and this Paul prayed to God and says, "Why am I struggling with this? Why is there a thorn in my flesh?" And God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you." So when we read this point in time, when we know that as mature Christians or maturing Christians, we need to rely on God's grace in order to get us going and get us through all the difficult stuff in the world. Because let's face it, nothing in this life comes easy. Nothing worthwhile comes easy, or else everybody will do it. So when we reach that point, we know that we are now still at the newborn baby phase. Now that's the mindset that we need to get into, is knowing that God's grace is sufficient for us, but that is only the beginning. So one of the first thing, and as I said, that now you are a baby at this stage still, and the first thing a baby wants when he's born is food. And we know that because that's the reason why they cry when they get out. No, they've been stuck in there for 9 months, not having anything physical to eat, and they come out and they're hungry, and they need food. So let's look at nourishment. Now, I know as a good parent, well, I think I'm a good parent, we want our children to eat good stuff. Now, we don't want them to eat the bad stuff. We don't want a baby to have chocolate or cookies, or, you know, we want to feed them with stuff that actually aids the growth phase in their life. But this is not a big issue for us, because we know that children want to eat. They want to grow, and they're yearning for that pure spiritual milk that we're talking about. And if you don't believe me, just go back there in the mother's room and hear those babies cry when they're not fed every couple of hours. They really want to eat. And even us as adults, even us as adults need to eat at regular intervals. Some of us need to eat constantly. You know, and just watch some of these adults when they go without food for half a day or fasting for a day and a half or maybe 3 days or so. Man, they get cranky. And that's because our body naturally yearns for food. So likewise, we cannot grow spiritually if we do not get the right food. In Deuteronomy 8 verse 3, it says that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but from every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So here we see that God's word is our spiritual food, that we need to get into God's word in order to grow. But as in the physical, there is a couple of types of, or groups of food sources that we need to take in order to live a balanced life. Unfortunately, we cannot live on meat alone. We have to add vegetables to that, and have some fruit, and drink some water. And if you absolutely have to, you can have chicken or fish with that. So the same thing goes for our spirit. If we want to grow up as a balanced spiritual person, we need to grow in a couple of directions. It's not healthy for a person to just go in one direction and grow in that direction. You need to grow up with a balanced physical, a balanced spiritual life. And this is where Renette and I have stumbled across something that enables you or facilitates you to grow into these various directions or spiritual areas. And the system is called the 5 Fat Files. Now, what these 5 Fat Files entail is not as we think in our community. Every time you hear the word fat, you think it's something that needs to lose weight. This is actually the inverse of that. It's something that's going to gain weight as time goes by. So the 5 Fat Files aid us into the pursuit of knowledge. As you see in Proverbs 15 verse 14, it says, "The heart of him who has understanding seek knowledge, but the mouths of the fools feed on folly." Now in the business world, there's quite a nice acronym that we can relate this to, and it's called GIGO. It's called garbage in, garbage out. So that is the knowledge that we need to get into our life. It's the good knowledge. We don't want the garbage, because then our lives are going to give fruit of garbage. We want the understanding to seek the good knowledge. So let's get back to the five fat files. Let me explain to you how this works. So if your first step is to go out and get five files. Now, all you can, my five fat files is one massive file with a couple of dividers in them. So you go out and you get yourself one of those files. Then you start labeling them. You divide that thing into five sections, or if you have five files, you name each and every file an area in your spiritual life that you would like to become an expert at. Now, that's quite a difficult concept to grasp. You know, if I put you on the spot and say, you know, name three areas in your life that you will be, that you, in your spiritual life, that you want to become an expert in. That's quite a difficult thing to do, and it's quite a difficult thing to comprehend. So, here's two questions to help you in order to get to the right answers. The first question of your five fat files is, what would you like to be known for? What would you like to be known for? The second question is, what topics do you want your name to be associated with? Now, let me give you an example of this. If you think of someone like Steph or Herky or Johan, you immediately think, you know, good guitar players, they can sing quite good, there's a lot of laughter in their lives. If you look at someone like Heinrich or Jan George, you think of leaders, pastors, fathers. If you think of someone like Sunet, for instance, you think of someone who writes poetry, who writes songs, you know, a prophet of God. Someone like Herman, who is our leader at intercession. When you name that person's name, immediately it's associated with something. And that's what the second question is all about, is what topics do you want your name to be associated with? Now, I have provided some papers on the edge of the chairs there, and I just want to give you just 2 or 3 minutes just to write down what God is stirring in your heart right now. If you have a notebook, that's perfect. Write down, you don't have to be five, just start with 3 or 2, or just get your mind engaged as to in which spiritual area do you want your name to be associated with, or do you want to grow in. I'm just going to give you a couple of minutes for this. Okay, now as you're struggling, because I know I struggled with this, as you're struggling, I've compiled a list of areas. It's a non-exhaustive list. It's just a couple of examples of things that, you know, can aid you into categorizing your five fat files. And I've categorized them, as you can see, they're into practical, theological, areas of ministry, areas of character, lifestyles, and zeroing in on personal. Now, how the five fat files work is, you're not going to name one of your files theological, for instance. One of your files will be something like attributes of God, or faith, or fruits of the Spirit. And you don't have to choose one of those areas. It can be five from any of those areas. Like, for instance, you can, on the practical, you can have one file on health. Then you can, areas of ministry, you can have one file of teaching. In areas of character, you can have heroes of faith. In lifestyles, you can look up how to be single, how to be a parent. And you can become an expert in that area in your life. Like, for instance, my five fat files has child raising in. It's got faith in it. Obviously, it's got an area for teaching and parenting. And the one that I didn't put up there is the area of my life that I also want to grow in, is being a prophet of God. Now, so there's a lot of things that you need to go over with. And like I said, this is a non-exhaustive list. So feel free to add on to this as God leads you. But keep in mind, Proverbs 15 verse 14, that you choose the areas right. That you choose areas that's got eternal value and not something for the here and now. So choose the stuff that you're going to spend your time on wisely, so that you can have good fruit that goes with that. And the amazing thing about this is, and this is where the files get fat. Once you have chosen these five areas in your life that you want to grow in, you can now start reading books on that type of area. You can make notes on it, you know, summarize an amazing article you've read. Or when you go into a seminar, imagine how amazing it would be if you can enroll into, you know, into the Convergence seminar, knowing exactly in what area that you want to grow in. You don't have to sit there and wonder, man, what am I supposed to do here now? You know exactly what you want to do. And as soon as you go there, you go into the seminar, you take notes, boom, that goes into the file. If you read a magazine, there's an amazing article on that, you tear it out, or you copy it, and boom, that also goes into the file. If you read a book, that summary you made, boom, goes into the file. And as you go along, and as time progresses, that file of yours are going to accumulate knowledge like you cannot believe. And that's what makes these files the fat files. So it starts as the seven thin cows, and it ends as the seven fat cows. Okay, so there's something that grows as you grow. And as you accumulate this knowledge, it's amazing that in Luke 2:52, it says when Jesus was little, it says, you know, Jesus grew up in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God. So if our role model is Jesus, we need to grow up in wisdom. We need to seek that. And we need to gain knowledge in order to have that. And it's so amazing that once you've started on this, and once you've become an expert at this, you can start teaching on those subjects. You can go to Bible school and say, listen, this is a subject that I think we need to teach on. And you can do that teaching. You can come here, you can do a sermon on that. You can write a book on it. And this gets me so excited to think about the amazing seed that can be planted here and the fruits that this plant can bear. Now, in a couple of years from now, we can read Renate's book on something that she wants to be an expert on. Or we can go here and see Johan standing in front here and, you know, giving us a teaching on whatever he's become an expert at. And so, we all can benefit from each and every one of us five fat files. And if this is not enough, there's some further nourishment that you also can get into. And they've mentioned it beforehand they mentioned it beforehand, and it's called our Spiritual Growth Series, or what now is our Encounter Series. This is a series that the church presents in order to facilitate you gaining spiritual growth. And just a couple of these topics, well, the previous topic's name was Perspective. You know, Perspective, you can go into, it's basically for the newborn Christians, go to Perspective, and they give you a teaching about, you know, Holy Spirit or being baptized in the Spirit. The second one is community, where we as a shofar congregation fit in into the body of Christ all over the world. The third one is legacy, which is coming up now, which you need to respond to before tomorrow. Legacy is something that enables you, that gives you the tools to stand up and claim your right to be, well, to claim your right as the Son of God, because you already are, but you need to step into that. That's not something that happens automatically. The liberty one is about setting the captives free. If there's something in your life or in your past or something that's holding you back from God, that's the seminar you go to in order to lay that down before Jesus and say, Lord, I do not need this in my life. I need you, and you trump this. And the fifth one is share. And I think the explanation for that is quite obvious. It's where they facilitate and they teach you how to go out in the world and make disciple makers, you know, go out in the world and give you the confidence and give you the tools in order to do that successfully. Okay, so now we have established that babies need food to grow. And we've seen that there's different groups of food that we need to get into our body in order to maintain a balanced spiritual growth life. But what do you think happens to someone who sits and eats all day long? They get fat. And that's not something we want. We need to do something with the energy that this food source has provided us. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul writes, he says, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself could be disqualified. Now this verse can be interpreted in the physical and the spiritual realm. You need to control your appetite, for instance. and not have your appetite control you. You need to get your body, to train your body into obedience so that you cannot be disqualified after you've spoken to someone else about, you know, having self-control. And if your aim in life is to have a quality, you know, long life in order to fulfill God's promises in your life and to serve God actively, you need to look after your body because it's the only one you have on earth. You need to discipline your body and get it right. Now, in the spiritual body, we also need to discipline ourselves. The discipline, and this is just one example that I'm thinking of, is, you know, you need to discipline yourself in order to keep quiet time. That's something that you need to set a time for that. You need to set a specific place in your house or in your room or something. You need to set a specific place where that's going to happen. You need to make sure that you have everything in that area that you need. You need your Bible or a notebook or a pen or your tablet or a laptop or whatever you use in order to have quiet time with God. Make sure it's there. And then you need to stick to your plan. You know, discipline yourself and diligently stick to that plan that you've set out in order that you can get the knowledge and the food that God has provided for you. We know that exercise and practice is also essential to physical development. We see musicians and athletes practice hours and hours and hours on end to get perfectly right the thing that they want to do. Musicians practice the same song over and over and over and over again and doing the scales and the guitar over and over to what hours of night. Now, I have a brother that's a really skilled musician. And, you know, when growing up, he was sitting in his room playing that guitar for hours on end. But now he's reaping the fruits of that. Now he's an amazing guitarist. And that's because he diligently sat in his room practicing those scales, practicing all sorts of techniques to get perfectly right what he wanted to get right. And the same thing for athletes. I'm a golfer. You know, I go to the driving range and I hit 100 balls at a time. Not at a time. Over a time period, you know, I hit a couple of balls to make sure that this 7-iron I can hit accurately. It doesn't always happen like that, but it's because I don't practice enough. You know, the professional guys do that for 8 hours every day. They go to the gym in the morning. They've exercised specific muscle areas in their lives in order to grow into what they want to be. All of those golfers, every golfer that you will ever meet says, I want to be number one in the world. I want to be able to step up on the tee box and kick Tiger Woods' ass all over that golf course. You know, we need to get that sort of commitment in our lives to diligently do what we need to do in order to get where we want to be. Okay, so, and the same thing with children as well. If you see a little baby crawling here around and starting to stand up upon something and trying to learn to walk, that kid's going to fall quite a lot. But he'll get up and do it all over again and get up and he'll cry and he'll pick him up and he'll, you know, thrust him a little bit and then he'll just do the same thing again until he gets it done. And if you don't believe me, try and play, you know, peekaboo with a baby just 3 times. You know, that doesn't happen. You need to do it 50,000 times. And every time you do it, you get a laugh out of it. Because that baby is developing a certain type of skill in his body in order to grow up. And that's what we need to do. We need to diligently and repetitively do what we need to do in order to grow in that specific area in life that we need to do. And, well, and the same thing in our spiritual life. Hebrews 5:14 says, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have the power of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. We need to practice our spiritual gifts and everything we have. We need to practice that constantly so that we can be as good as a professional does it. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, having nothing to do with irreverent, silly myth, rather train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. So how can we exercise our spirit? We see here that we need to train ourselves for godliness. But how do we do it? You start with that five fat files we talked about earlier. I love that. Five fat files. It's got a nice ring to it. You start with those five fat files and you work from there in every area in your life. If you want to teach, you know, do it repeatedly. Ask your small group facilitator whether you can facilitate something. You know, get someone and ask him, whether can I teach in Bible school? You know, teach to your brother, teach to your sister, teach to your wife and children. You know, do it constantly, making sure you get it down right. And if you want to lead praise and worship, you know, get on that guitar. Practice those chords. Practice the songs. Make sure you get it right. Go to the auditions. And if you don't get it, don't be discouraged by that. No, it just means you need to practice some more. You need to put in a little bit more effort in order to obtain what you want to obtain. And the older member in church, or the more mature guys, maturity in spirit has nothing to do with physical age. The more mature people in church encourage these youngsters, encourage them to try, encourage them, you know, to get up and facilitate a small group, or encourage someone to get onto the stage. And even if he's just standing in the back playing guitar, encourage them to do that, because that is what God wants them to do. That is the area in their life that they need to grow in order to do what God set them out to do. So encourage those people. But growth doesn't happen overnight. It takes time and patience. By definition, growth is a progress and development as time passes by. Well, remember that the children does not grow up instantaneously. They grow up fast, but unfortunately, they do not grow up instantaneously. You have to go through that nights of not sleeping. You have to wake up and change a diaper. You know, it doesn't happen instantaneously. It takes time to get there. And we sometimes, as Christians, become impatient. I remember when I was in primary school, how I longed to be in high school. And once I went through high school, you know, I longed to be 18 years so that I can get my driver's license and drive my dad's car up and down the road without any supervision. You know, and once I had that, I longed to be in varsity. And during those varsity years, I said, man, when will this learning stop? You know, I longed for the moment that I can get my degree and go out into the real world and be independent and make it on my own. You know, so in various stages of our lives, we always longed for something. And we become impatient for that. The thing I hated the most was when I was speaking to someone and said, man, I can't wait for this. And they say, you know, it's going to take time. You just have to wait. I'm like, I don't want to wait. You know, I want it now. And that's the biggest problem that we have in our spiritual realm as well. Now, as we read in James 1 verse 4, it says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So James tells us here that we need to be patient, and it's going to take time. It's going to take hours of practice. It's going to take a lot of your time, and it's going to take a lot of your energy. And in our strival to become perfect, as James said here, we are going to fail along the way. You are going to go up to someone and say, man, I have a word of knowledge for you. And you tell it to them and they said, man, I think you have the wrong guy here. This is not for me. Or come in front and have a prophecy and no one coming and, you know, and saying, you know, I have the same feeling. Or going to intercession beforehand and praying something and not seeing that everybody's praying the same thing. You are going to fail. But that is part of the growing up process. Like my son, he's starting to stand up to things now. He's crawling and then up to the coffee table. But sometimes he crawled and he can't see the table and he bumped his head. And he cries about that. Man, he doesn't like doing that. And you get him up and he throws him a little bit and you put him down. And, you know, after 5 minutes, he does exactly the same thing. And after he's done it a couple of times, he realized, listen. When I reach this point, something bad happens to me. You know, I get discomfortable if I pass this line. And so the same thing happens with us as well in our spiritual lives. That we need to make those mistakes. And we are going to fail. But we're going to learn through that failing. And the biggest mistake as we as Christians can make is wanting to know everything right now. We're not willing to take the time to study and develop our ability, you know, to quote scripture, to teach, to facilitate a small group, to be able to stand up here and lead worship. We want to know everything right now. We just want the direct download. You know, I think sometimes we get so comfortable in the world, we can have everything like that. If I want a Big Mac and chips, I can have it like that. If I want, you know, to go on the internet and watch a YouTube clip, I can have it like that, if you have the right connection. But, you know, we are so comfortable and used to getting everything like that, we want to transfer that in the spiritual realm as well. And we can't just go and say, you know, just plug in here and I'll get the download and I'll be able to do everything. We need to be diligent in feeding ourselves using those five fat files. And as time progresses, before you know it, you will be able to facilitate a small group, to be able to stand up and teach in Bible school, to be able to, you know, to set up sound like those guys at the back there who comes here very, very early in the morning to make sure that this sound and the setup and the music and everything is right. You need to feed yourself diligently so that you can be able to do that. And don't be discouraged. Like I said before, don't be discouraged if you make mistakes. Mistakes are going to happen. And I've compiled a short list of people in the Bible that also made mistakes. As we see that Moses had 110 different excuses why he could not lead Israel out of Egypt. David committed adultery and had that poor woman's husband murdered in battle. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Paul persecuted the people that he later taught. Thomas was the guy who doubted Jesus' resurrection, and he only came to realize that after Jesus appeared to him. Every single one of Jesus' apostles forsook him when he was crucified. Now, Peter was praised at the one end, saying, you know, this is, you are Peter, and on this, your word that he just said, I will build my rock. And in the very next verse, Jesus rebuked him and said, get behind me, Satan. And that's the sort of things. And when we think of these guys, we don't think of their mistakes. We think of them and remember them as some of God's greatest servants. So, as we see in Proverbs 29 verse 1, it says, he who is often reproved, yet stiffens his neck, will suddenly be broken beyond healing. So you see here, a person is not destroyed because he errs or because he made a mistake. It's when he becomes stubborn, when someone rebukes him, that he will be broken. When he comes in with a heart filled with pride, you know, I have arrived. And this is what will break them. When humility is not part of that person's mindset or something, that is when you will be broken. When someone rebukes you and you reject that rebuke, that is when this proverb says, you will be broken beyond healing. So what we need is repentance. When someone rebukes us, have the humility to go and repent of what you've done. You know, you must keep yourself teachable, knowing that, you know, I don't know everything. Sometimes there's someone else who knows better than me. And that is true humility, being able that someone else comes in and speaks into your life and tell you, listen, you know, this is what you said this morning, this sermon of yours, you know, this is not right. You need to be able to take that on the chin and say, okay, you know, thank you for that, and I'll look into it. And keep yourself teachable. Let me tell you a story about a father that one night woke up, and this father is not me. This father woke up one night of the scream of his son, you know, and he immediately knew this boy, he fell out of bed. And he ran to his room and, you know, he picked him up and he dried up his tears and said, listen, son, are you all right? And he said, yes, daddy, I'm okay. And he said, you know, what happened? And the little boy said to him, I stayed too close to the getting inside of the bed. And that's why I fell out. You know, I was too close to the side of the bed where I initially got in. And that's the reason for me falling out. So, there's no shame in being a baby. Everybody starts as a baby. But we need to grow in this. And growing happens when a body is fed and exercised continuously, so that we can become the mature Christians that God set out for us to be. And use those 5 fat files. And if you don't want 5 fat files, you know, choose at least 3 or 4. But don't focus on one specific thing. Focus on various things. You know, get the balance of the fruit in your life so that you can grow up to be a balanced spiritual person as well. And as time goes by and you use those files, and one day you too can sit at the table, maybe on your father's lap, and saying, you know, can I have a piece of that nice juicy rump steak of yours? And your dad says, yes, yes, let me cut you off a piece. You know, that's the point in life that we need to come into. That Paul can say, or God can come and say to us, no, you're ready. You don't have to drink that lukewarm milk anymore. You can sit at the table for the big kids now. You can have solid food. You can have meat. You can have vegetables and fruit. Or chicken. But, you know, that is where we want to be at. And we need to see the urgency about this in our lives. Now, growing up spiritually is not just another phase in your life. It's something that you can bless others with. Now, exercising isn't something you do on your own spiritually. It's something that you get inside your heart and you can start sharing with the people around you. And that's why, you know, as you read in the Bible, there's your spiritual gifts. Every single spiritual gift is about edifying the body. Now, giving something back for what you have received. It's the overflow of when your cup gets full with the knowledge and everything you gain through those files and through the Word of God. When that starts filling up and overflowing, that is when you're going to start making an impact in someone else's life. And sometimes we get frustrated. Sometimes we get frustrated in our spiritual life. And one reason because we get frustrated is because we didn't procreate spiritually. You know, we need to, when you reach that level of maturity, we need to get to a stage where you can take someone under your wing and say, listen, I'll be your spiritual father, or I will disciple you in this area in your life. You know, and having children is not a comfortable thing to have. It takes you out of that comfort zone. It takes you out of the phase in your life that, you know, everything depends on me and I make decisions and I make the rules and everything is about me and myself and the car I drive and, you know, when I want to go to sleep and want to wake up. Having a child takes that away from you. And we need to get to a point in our spiritual lives where we are willing to make that sacrifice. Willing to take someone underneath your wing and say, listen, I'll walk with you this road. Doesn't matter how uncomfortable it will be, I will be able to stand up and say, you know, like Paul said, be imitators of me as I am an imitator of Christ. That's the area in life that we need to get at. And that's the urgency of this message, is growing up spiritually so that you can start being a father and being a mother to someone else. That you can start overflowing in the gifts that God has given you. Now, so that God's kingdom can come. That's the goal. That's the reason why we are Christians. That's the reason we go out into the world and we send mission teams to Makweni and Rwanda and India and all that sort of stuff. Is so that what we have been filled with, we can give to others. Because that is the real food. That is the real food that we can sit with someone in a lap and feed him. And not only feed ourselves. That is where we want to get at. So if the band can just come up. Now, we reach a stage in our lives where we know that we are babies. And we need to realize that is not what God has called us to do. We need to realize that we didn't become saved or have that amazing encounter with God so that we can stay stagnant. We need to grow in that. Remember that feeling you had when, you know, the moment you gave your life to God. That amazing rush of blood you had. You know, that overwhelming experience of Jesus' love. That's something that you need to go into facilitate in other people's lives. you need to become mature so that you can share with other people as well. So use these five fat files. And I can tell you, you know, this has such an amazing impact on your life. You just get such a hunger to get up in the morning and get into the Word and see what God's Word says about this area of my life. What God says about teaching. What God says about, you know, facilitating a small group. Or what God says about healing or spiritual gifts or serving one another. You need to get up and make note of that and take it to heart and really ponder about that, you know. Think about that all day long and it will become part of you. It will become such a part of you that other people won't be able to not notice. Not notice the overflow that is in your life and the amazing way that God is blessing you with. So if you can just all please stand up. So as I prepared this for the sermon, I had this feeling in my heart that there's some people here, sitting here today that doesn't know what it means to be reborn. That haven't reached that stage in your life that you need a Savior. You know, it's such an amazing moment that we don't want to miss this. There's someone here that, you know, longs for that encounter with God, wants to get to know God, wants to have a relationship with Jesus. And if everyone just can close their eyes, you know, that's, I really feel if that's you this morning, I just want to quickly just put up your hand. Now, if you feel that this message of you have a longing in your heart to have that meeting with Jesus, just slip up your hand right now. Now, Jesus says, I'm standing at your door and I'm knocking. I want to be a part of your life. I want to come in and I want to set you free from the things that happened in your past. I want to be able to have a relationship with you. And if you don't know how that feels, or if you don't know how the Holy Spirit leading you, if you have standing here and you have butterfly feelings in your stomach, you know, that nervousness, knowing that, you know, what's going to happen next? My friend, that is God knocking on your heart's door. It's not butterflies in there. It's God knocking at your door. So if that's you this morning, just for a moment, just raise your hand. Then there's a second group of people here this morning that, you know, it's someone who feels they are stuck in the newborn phase in their spiritual life. Now, they've been saved for quite a while now, but they're stuck on having to live off that lukewarm milk. Having to live off other people feeding you the Word and not being able to delve into God's Word and to really get the nourishment that your spiritual body needs. And if that's you this morning, I just want to encourage you, just raise your hand. Because I want to pray for you. I know how it feels. I know how it feels to feel so stuck and so helpless. You know, relying on other people to constantly, you know, carry you, pray for you, and you're not being able to do this on your own. So if you put off your hand, you can just put it down again. And then there's a third group of people that I want to pray for this morning. It's someone that they've walked the road with God and they've reached a level of maturity where they, like Peter, think that, no, I will never deny God. No, I don't need to grow anymore. I've reached a level of maturity in my life you know, I don't need anything else anymore. And if that's you this morning, I also just want to pray for you. So just slip up your hand. If you feel that you try and try and try and, you know, nothing seems to happen. God's inviting you, saying, come to me. come feed on my word. Come feed on the things that I give you, that I gave you, that spiritual gift that I gave you. Feed on the knowledge that I've made available for you on that, so that you can get through this phase. You know, that you can become mature, that you can be a spiritual father or a spiritual mother to someone. If you want to break free from that, anything that's holding you back, anything that's still stuck in your life that you just don't want to let go of, beforehand in intercession, I had this vision of a plane, you know, one of those salt planes, and it was an amazing light just shining on that plane. And in the middle of the plane, there was a pillar standing up. And that pillar casted a shadow on that plane. And that shadow represents something in your life that God is not yet a part of. It's something in your life that God wants to be a part of. He wants to shine His magnificent light over the entirety of who you are. And what you're thinking and what you're doing. But there's something that's planted in your life that's holding you back. And I want to encourage you this morning just to let go of that. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will show you in each and every one of your life what that is. What that pillar represents in your life. So as everybody's eyes are closed, I'm going to ask those guys just to take a step of faith. If you raised your hand for any one of those three things, you know, just come forward and we will love to pray for you. We would love to partner with you in this amazing journey of becoming mature spiritual Christians. Now we'd love just to take some time with you and really, no, just ask God just to manifest His presence in your life. So, there's people, if you can come forward, don't be ashamed. This, the step that Moses took, you know, when he went off his path into the burning bush, that changed his life forever. The moment he did that, he made himself open to become the leader that God has set him out to be. He made himself available and said, God, here I am. No, I want to be there. I want to be your man. I want to be the guy who leads your Egyptians out of slavery. I want to be that man. When Jesus called his disciples, you know, those guys left their nets. They left everything behind and followed Jesus. And they became amazingly successful at what they did. 2,000 years later, we still read of what they did during those couple of years. And that is what God wants for you. God wants you to be set free.